And it reminds me of the Thomas Delaney line about facing Ireland. It's like trying to open a can of beans with your bare hands. They're a nightmare to play against.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Balls Rugby Daily with Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Irish rugby. Never stop competing.
You're very welcome along to Tuesday's Rugby Daily. I'm Cameron Hill. On the way, we have injury news from Leinster, who look set to be without two internationals ahead of this weekend's trip to the Scarlets. We get the latest from South Africa as Connacht lick their wounds from Saturday's defeat to the Stormers before taking on the Lions this weekend. Ulster undertake a massive clear out of their squad ahead of the summer break. And we get the latest from the Ireland camp as they prepare for their final Women's Six Nations match away to Scotland on Saturday. But it's to Dublin first, and Leinster head coach Leo Cullen gave an update on his squad ahead of the crunch time of the season. Dan Sheehan scored a second half hat-trick of tries in their 41-17 thumping of Ulster on Saturday night at the Aviva Stadium. That result leaves Leinster 9 points clear of Glasgow Warriors at the top of the URC. The Boys in Blue take on Scarlets this weekend in Wales, but it's the following week where they will perhaps play their biggest game so far this season. Northampton Saints will be the visitors to Lansdowne Road on Saturday week in the semi-final of the Investec Champions Cup. And Leinster have been boosted this week with the news that Will Connors and Paddy McCarthy are back and available for selection. However, Ryan Baird and RG Snayman are doubts. Snayman will be further assessed following a dead leg against Ulster, while Baird has a calf injury. Staying with Ulster, they've announced that 8 players will leave the province at the end of the season as head coach Richie Murphy continues his rebuild. Veterans Alan O'Connor and Andy Warwick will both leave at the end of the season. John Cooney's move to Breve and Kieran Treadwell's return to Harlequins had both previously been flagged, while former Ireland under-20s captain Ruben Crothers announced his retirement last week at the age of just 23. The departures of O'Connor and Warwick will leave a vacuum of experience in Belfast next season, however. Both players are currently in the province's top 10 all-time appearances list. Second row O'Connor has played 210 times for Ulster since joining their academy in 2012, and the Skerries native has stepped onto the breach as captain of the province in recent seasons when Rob Herring and Ian Henderson have been unavailable. The 32-year-old has continued to be a regular in the side this season, making 14 appearances, 11 of which have been starts. Warwick, meanwhile, has made 209 Ulster appearances since his debut in 2013 and made 3 appearances for Emerging Ireland earlier in his career. Flanker Matty Ray is set to depart after more than 100 caps for his native province, while scrum half Michael McDonald and Corey Barrett will also leave. Ulster are 10th in the URC table. That's 30 points off leaders Leinster. The province also issued their own injury update today ahead of their clash with the Hollywood Bet Sharks at Kingspan Stadium this weekend. Michael Lowry and Stuart Moore were both injured during Saturday's defeat to Leinster. Both players are unavailable for selection this week. Stuart McCloskey, Rob Herring, Callum Reid and John Cooney are also injury doubts ahead of the weekend. Moving to Connacht now, and Cully Tucker's first game in charge since the departure of Pete Wilkins was a 5-point defeat to the Stormers in Cape Town. The Westerners suffered a blow to their hopes of qualifying for the playoffs, largely thanks to the 24 points scored from Sasha Feinberg Ngomazulu. But interim head coach Tucker believes that Saturday's performance shows there were positive strides made.
Yeah, there's definitely growth, William. Yeah, we definitely assessed that through the game, but there's still massive learning in it for us. Very disappointed to go try behind so early, and just kind of having to battle into the game. But, our composure through the whole game was pretty good, We had a couple of lapses defensively, obviously. But the Stormers are a side that can hurt you through some of their individual talent. But we were able to keep coming back, taking the knocks, keep coming back. Played some great rugby and showed some great character. Just didn't fall for us at the end, but performance-wise, I agree with that. There was massive growth in it for us.
It's Joburg for the men in green this weekend as they take on the Lions. Out-half Jack Carty impressed last Saturday in his first start this season, and his coach hopes he can step up and do similar this week.
Yeah, I thought Jack was magnificent. I thought he ran our attack well, and I thought he put us in the right areas to play. I thought his line kicking was excellent. One from almost at the half a line, he dropped 5 metres out. So he had a fabulous game for us. But again, it's a testament to Jack and his quality that he hasn't played in that amount of time, but he's able to come up and put up that level of performance. How he drove the team all week and how he prepared all week was evident in his performance. And Unfortunately, he didn't get an opportunity to perhaps not go over the last conversion, but you know, he put us in the place in terms of how he directed the team around the pitch. So yeah, very happy for him, and you know, he showed his class, as I said.
On the international front, Ireland continued their good form and positive preparation for this year's Women's Rugby World Cup in England. Scott Beaman's side ran in 6 tries, 3 in each half, which sent them on their way to a dominant 40-14 Six Nations victory over Wales in front of a crowd of over 3,000 at Rodney Parade. Ireland had to withstand an early Welsh lead, along with a yellow card to fly half Donna O'Brien close to half-time, but ultimately came out on top in that one. Player of the match, Aoife Wafer, Linda Dugang and Dorothy Wall all picked up 2 tries each, while Carys Cox and Hannah Bluck struck for the hosts. Speaking to Off the Ball's Megan Scully afterwards, Ireland centre Enya Breen says it was perhaps a scrappier win than the scoreline suggested.
Probably a bit of an ugly win at times. Didn't feel like we put our best performance out there. We probably started a bit flat and they probably beat us out of the blocks a little bit with an early score. But the girls, we all showed massive strength, massive comeback, I suppose, to get back into it and get ourselves back in front and keep the foot in the pedal from there.
You speak about the green wave a lot. The green wave certainly gathered momentum at times.
Yeah, it did. Even in the crowd today, having families, friends, people in there just gives us a bit of a lift. Wales is a tough place to come. And between the girls in the sideline, the girls around you, your families in the crowd, it all gives you a bit of a lift, a bit of a buzz and gets some momentum going.
You took over kicking, of course, yourself and some great kicks from you. And you said, though, you've always been preparing for that as well because you've played it obviously before.
Yeah, it's something I've always kind of tip away at. Me, Dana and Nicole, we've a little kicking group back, Stacey as well. She'll want me to mention her. And we all kind of push each other on. We've Steno back there as well. And we all like have a little group. We get together once, twice a week, give each other tips, advice. And just, yeah, it's something we're all prepared for to step in.
And of course, position you said you've played many times in your club as well.
Yeah, it's a position I love to play. I suppose you get to have a bit more control, boss around, and get to have a bit of distribution and play a bit more. I love playing 12, I love playing 10. I love being on the pitch, to be honest. But I'm just happy to go wherever Scott wants to put me.
Now, of course, you're on the pitch here, but you're about to get on the bus to go to the airport to fly out tonight. It's a very quick turnover to Scotland.
Yeah, 6-day turnaround. Our first of the year, is it? Yeah, not something we're unfamiliar with either. We'd one or two over in Canada, so at WXV1. So yeah, we're looking forward to it. We've got a bit of momentum this week and hopefully we can bring that into next week and put out a good performance against Scotland and look for a third away win in the competition.
And finally, I feel like you'd be very satisfied with the Six Nations campaign coming into World Cup.
Yeah, it's not over yet, so we'll look forward to this week first and then, yeah, in the next few weeks, we'll just put out a performance next week and then hopefully in the next few weeks we can reflect and build whatever momentum we can into the summer and into the World Cup and hopefully have a good one.
Ireland now turn their attention to this weekend's final round fixture with Scotland on Saturday, looking for their third win in this year's tournament. Number 8 Aoife Wafer has been one of the standout players of the entire tournament so far, and her coach Scott Beamans says she's a generational talent.
Aoife is a really important player for us. She exhibits a lot of the obsessiveness that great players show at a young age and can go on. So, you know, she's always looking for areas to improve her game. The bits that she does on training, in training, are usually teed up by bits she's done in and around the gym with a tackle pad in a small... And she's always exploring how she can be better, lower, different angle. She's going to go on and she's a really, really good player. We want to keep growing her so she can go on and become a generational talent. It's great that people are looking at some of the Irish players coming through and identifying that they've got something about them, because there's a pathway in place in Ireland that's been a couple of years in the making called WNTS, and it's starting to produce players through that. So, you know, there's been a lot of talk around Celtic Challenge and what that looks like, but the time that we've been able to spend together, and if we view the games as another training opportunity, another opportunity to sharpen things, we've been able to keep layering and stretching people's talents. So, look, she's going to continue to get better. We need to keep finding ways to challenge her. It allows us to be innovative with some of the plays that we use. It allows us to sometimes be a little bit simpler. But it's never about one player. It's we want the sort of the rising tide to float all boats, as it were. And if a player that can come on and stretch other people and help rise and raise other people's performance, it only bears good fruit for Ireland, Irish rugby.
Elsewhere today, Leicester Tigers and former England scrum half Ben Youngs has announced that he will retire from professional rugby at the end of the season. The 35-year-old made the announcement on his podcast, saying it has taken a long time to mull over and think about. Youngs spent his entire club career at the Tigers, progressing through the academy and making his Premiership debut 18 years ago at the age of just 17. That makes him the club's youngest ever league player at the time. The scrum half has gone on to make 332 appearances for Leicester to date, winning 5 Premiership titles along the way. The side are now second in the league table after a 36-19 points victory over Bristol Bears at the weekend. Youngs also amassed 127 caps for England before retiring from Test rugby at the end of the 2023 World Cup, making him the country's most capped player. Alongside his litany of England caps, he has a further 2 for the British and Irish Lions. Youngs revealed on his podcast that he considered retiring last season, but the arrival of Michael Checa to the Tigers last summer inspired him to remain for another season. New Zealand star Portia Woodman-Wickliffe has announced she'll come out of international retirement and has set her sights on the 2025 World Cup. Now, she called time on her career with New Zealand after winning rugby sevens gold at the 2024 Paris Olympics. The 33-year-old winger rolled back on her initial decision after helping Blues women to win the Sky Super Rugby Aupiki, signing an 8-month contract. She's the record try scorer in Women's World Cup history and helped New Zealand to the titles in 2017 and 2022. She was named the World Rugby Sevens Player of the Year in 2015, the Women's Player of the Year in 15s in 2017, and the Top Sevens Player of the Decade in 2020. Ireland take on New Zealand in the pool stages of the World Cup on Sunday, the 7th of September in Brighton. That's it for today's Rugby Daily. Don't forget to subscribe to the OTB Rugby feed and keep this podcast coming to you free of charge. I'm Cameron Hill and Rugby Daily will be back to you tomorrow.
Take a detour from the ordinary.
Owen, it's finally here. Your 10-part documentary, Diverted.
Took a long time.
It's time to get diverted.
This has taken too long, but finally glad that it's here.
Join Owen Sheehan as he brings you the conversations you didn't know you needed to hear.
It's like the content version of your eyes being bigger than your belly or whenever it comes to food.
From the unexpected to the unforgettable, Diverted explores it all.
For some reason, I've decided to hitchhike through Argentina.
Irlanda.
Holanda.
Irlanda.
Irlanda.
Irlanda. See.
Available for free on all Off the Ball channels. Divert it on Off the Ball.